from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on Ohio State National Championship coach. He won a few national championships elsewhere too, but I don't remember those as much. Legendary college football coach Urban Meyer joining us now. Coach, welcome to the show.
It was great to be with you guys.
Well, I got to say, it's great to have you here. And obviously, we could start with where Ohio State is heading this season. I know you've talked on a few podcasts about that, a few media outlets about that. But I did want to know, now that you were both removed from the rivalry itself on a daily basis, if you and Jim Harbaugh got trapped in an elevator together, would you have a friendly conversation or would it be impossible to get past the rivalry?
Probably be impossible to get through the rivalry because I know his brother, John. I know his father a little bit, but that rivalry is forever. You know, I thought the hatred was pretty intense back when I was younger, but man, oh man, when you actually coach in that game and you realize your livelihood, your ability to eat solid food and sleep at night depends on that game. I mean, it was beyond intense.
Is there something to the idea? And because I've heard a lot of Ohio State fans espouse this idea before, that unless you grew up in the rivalry, it's impossible to totally comprehend it. You might understand it on some level, but you might not entirely get it. Is that fair?
I think there's a certain element of that. But what we tried to do, because you remember, Dustin, back in Woody's day and even Earl Bruce's day, and even Jim Tressel to a degree, Ohio, you could fill your roster with people from the footprint of Columbus. And as that, you know, as just population shifts, the economy changed, the spring football, you know, for Ohio State to go where we wanted to go, we were one of the first staffs to really do the national recruiting. And I didn't like it. I'd much rather stay at home. But the reality is you need to go get players from other parts of the country. And we tried to get the very best players in Ohio. And still, the best players in Ohio are as good as anyone. The problem is there's not enough of them. And so you try to indoctrinate the people you bring into that program, players and coaches, with the seriousness of it. I'm a little biased because I'm from outside of Cleveland, and I grew up in this rivalry. I remember as early as I could say the word Buckeye, I was a Buckeye. So I think there's ways of indoctrinating, teaching them, and learning about it. But there's still a little something special being from the great state.
Coach, you won a national title in 2014. People are comparing that team to this year's team. I won a title in 02, and then when y'all won it, people compared our team to your team and said, who's better? Probably unfair to compare, you know, different years and different teams. I always said, like, our team was better than yours. But, well, you had some players, Coach, and I don't know that we would have beat you guys. But would 2014 beat the 2024?
I'll tell you what, Dustin, my gosh, because I'm getting ready for our Fox show, and I'm just looking and reading about these guys, and I've not seen them. You know, I saw the spring game, but that's you know how that goes. But I don't see a weakness. I keep hearing about the right guard of the offensive line, and there's plenty of players there. So I'm very well aware what's on this roster, and I've been out there saying this. I've not seen one like this. I've not seen a roster as deep and as talented as Ohio State, and I've been around the game a long time.
So with that, there seems to be even more pressure. There's always pressure. It's Ohio State. The stakes are always very high. The expectations are always very high. But there seems to be even more pressure. And this feeling from some fans that it's a make-or-break season for Ryan Day. You've got to beat Michigan. You've got to win a national championship. Do you think that's a fair place to be in? Now, I believe this is the fifth or sixth year Ryan Day's been the head coach.
Well, of course it's not fair, but there's never in a con- when Gene Smith went over my contract with me, it never said anything about fairness, you know, and going through the objectives and responsibilities. And I've always heard it, but I've never had it on paper. I actually have a piece of paper that says, win every game you play, beat the rival, graduate, you know, your players, and it's actually listed, win every game you play. So it's unrealistic, it's unfair, but they pay you extremely well. You happen to have one of the top jobs, if not the top job in America. So no, it's not fair, but that's life in the big city.
Coach, you look at this, and it's three straight losses to Michigan. Nobody's really happy about this, but how do you get back on the right side of this rivalry?
Well, there's one way. You just prepare to play them every day of the year and beat them. And I think, you know, this will be a – I have no idea what's going on in Ann Arbor. We have them second week. Obviously, last year's team, to give the Wolverines credit, that was not a good team. That was a great football team. Well-coached team, tough in the line of scrimmages on both sides. They ran the ball down your throat. Their quarterback was a playmaker. Their defense was phenomenal. So that was a great team. But that team is a shell of itself. You know, I understand there's a lot of great talent up there. They still aren't unsure at the quarterback. But like I said, we got them week two. So how do you fix a robbery? You go win that damn thing. And this is the year, you know, on paper, Ohio State is going to be the much better team on that field that day, on paper.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But you bring up a great point, Coach. You can talk about that rivalry and how the guys can sort of buy into that. And certainly it's tougher, you know, with new players coming in that have not grown up in the rivalry like you and I, you know, being from Ohio. How does a guy like Will Howard, I mean, he was at K-State and had a great career. He transfers in. He's going to be here for like less than a year. How does a guy like that understand the rivalry? And maybe he can, and I certainly hope he can, because he's a heck of a player. But you know what I'm saying, right, Coach?
Sure. And I was always very fearful of that, because I, in the offseason, and I know Coach Day does the same, it's very similar type things, but you can't walk in that facility and get a sandwich without hearing about the rivalry. Just instead of hearing about it, I want to educate him on, you know, what, you know, I think the biggest responsibility of Ohio State coach is educate all who enter on, you didn't create this place now. This is created. This is not one of those places, say, this is Ohio State's a really cool place. Ohio State's been around a long time. The history of that place, I'm very biased, is second to none. You have an obligation when you walk in that door to pay homage, understand the incredible history, and then also do your part to add to it. So I tried to put so much pressure, emphasis on not just that game, but what it means to be a Buckeye. And when you walk through that Woody Hayes, Dustin, it's not hard to start feeling it. But, you know, the coaching staff and the other players need to indoctrinate Will on the, and he's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. He'll get it figured out, but he's a part of the rivalry now.
Urban Meyer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, as we are just several days away from Ohio State Akron here in Northeast Ohio. But to look and kind of keep looking at Will Howard there, I felt a certain way about Kyle McCord last year and had some frustration there. I really like Will Howard, but from your vantage point, is this a game manager situation, or do you think Ohio State needs Will Howard to be a next level, you know, future NFL quarterback for them to have a chance to win a national championship?
Well, Justin Fields or Haskins Fields and C.J. Stroud, that's going to be hard to ever get those three quality quarterbacks right in a row like that. Three first round draft picks, three guys that, you know, I still think Justin Fields is going to do fine in the NFL, and obviously C.J. Stroud is killing it. I'm biased, but I think if Dwayne would have continued on his journey, he would have been a fine NFL player. So the spoil of those riches was beyond, you know, imaginable. Ohio State's not really had a run like that at quarterbacks. Will Howard, I really like Will Howard. I loved him last year. He's my kind of guy. You know how I just think the quarterback's got to be the toughest guy on the team. I think he's got to be in a leader in a weight room. He's got to be a guy that's going to get a first down at all costs. I would always tell our quarterbacks, you have two jobs, score touchdowns, get first downs. I don't care if you throw it, run it, and keep your team on schedule. And he's that kind of quarterback. Is he going to be a first-rounder? I don't believe he is. I've studied him a lot now in the past month. I watched a lot of film on him. He is a hell of a player. But more, you know, he's just a – I hate the word manager. He's going to distribute the ball to some great players, but he's going to get you some tough-ass first downs. That's what I love about this guy.
Coach, it's different this year, 12-team playoff. I love it. Most people do. I'm sure you do as well, having more competition and more, you know, more teams having the opportunity to stay in the tournament as we go throughout the year. And, like, I think most people think Ohio State will make the playoffs, like, guaranteed. There's no chance they don't make the playoffs. And I kind of agree with that. But let's talk I don't want to be negative, but what could be some possible landmines for the Buckeyes as we go? You've got Oregon. That game at Oregon is going to be ridiculous. Obviously, you got the usual suspects in that big game at the end of the year. But your thoughts on things that could prevent Ohio State from maybe making the playoff?
The first 5 weeks of the season really worry me. You know, they will not be challenged. It's going to be 50-plus point spreads on the first three, a bye week. And then Michigan State, normally, you know, one of the better teams of the Big Ten, I think they're several years away from being competitive. You know, I mean, what's unfolded at Michigan State in the last 3 years, 2 years, is beyond belief. So how do you get a team razor sharp? What I would do is good on good as much as possible. Because your best competition for the next 4 weeks is going to be your Tuesday and Wednesday practices. And, Dustin, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But how do you do that with now getting guys hurt, with making sure you stay up? It can't be all ones and versus scout team. I wouldn't do that. I'd go ones-on-ones. That's the only way you're going to get this team ready for Oregon, in my opinion, is go ones-on-ones as much as possible.
Urban Meyer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So when we think about the new Big Ten, four new teams, formerly the Pac-12 joining, Oregon is the best of the bunch, at least this year. So when we talk about the health of the Big Ten, is it better for the Big Ten if Oregon beats Ohio State on October 12th or if Ohio State beats Oregon?
Okay. Better for the Big Ten. You know, my eyes are so scarlet and gray shaded. I don't even want to go there. But the Big Ten is healthy. It's strong. You know, I know Fox is a big part of the Big Ten now, and it's just hard for me to believe that this has happened, that the Pac-12 is gone, and now you got people going out in airplanes for 2,300 miles every time you go out this way. And you know, Oregon's not going to be playing Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, and Stanford. They're going to be playing Rutgers, Maryland, Penn State, Michigan State. So it's going to take a while to get used to it. But I think what's happened is the soon-to-become mega conferences, which I think we're already probably there with the SEC and the Big Ten. And then, you know, obviously the ACC's got a couple powerhouses. But the health of the Big Ten, it can't be healthier. You got television sets across this country going to be watching the Big Ten, and now you just added the L.A. market. So the health of the Big Ten is incredible, and I don't know if the winner of that game is going to change that.
One big storyline last year was the Connor Stallion scandal, and just kind of big picture, you know, the allegations, and that's what they are until, you know, some sort of ruling comes down here, but the allegations are of sign stealing and advanced scouting by the Michigan staff. And I'm just curious, is that common? Is that more common than we realize in college football? Or do you think that this is more of an isolated incident if it was in fact true?
Well, my reaction, they wanted me on TV last year to react, and I've just seen the media wrong in so many occasions over my career, and I've seen things said that weren't true. So I really backed off. I was like, when I started reading about it, I said, there's no way that some guy bought 100-plus tickets to games and put them on the 45 to 50-yard line and put a cell phone camera on them and then put a whole spreadsheet together utilizing all these stolen signs from advanced scout. When I read that, I was like, there's no way that happened. Now that it seems like it has been proven that it's happened, I got even some of our colleagues at Fox made a comment to me, well, coaches, you know, everybody does that. And I was like, look, I go, I've never heard of that. What do you mean everyone does it? Everyone does gamesmanship, which means during the course of a game, if you pick up a signal from the opponent's sideline in the press box or during a game or even on TV copy, if you get something, yeah, that I've heard of that before. And I know our guys we'd have GAs try to get during the game, try to figure out signals. But the advanced scouting is the underlying bold print. That's can't be more clear that that's against the rule. And I never heard of that. If that in case is true, proven, which I mean, everything I'm hearing, it is. I hear Connor Stallions, that Netflix, I had 100 people call me today. They watched it and said, you know, I can't imagine. But I'll tell you this. In my lifetime, I've never heard of people doing that. When even my Fox colleagues said they heard of other guys doing it, I've never heard of that, Dustin.
So this leads us to, if they are found guilty, and as you're kind of hinting to, it sounds like that's going to be where the NCAA goes with this. What punishment best fits the accusations of advanced scouting and everything, the whole enchilada that they're accused of?
Boy, that's a tough one, and one that I've already been asked a few times. You know, I don't know that, you know, and obviously speculation is tough. And the NCAA, because of litigation, has lost most of its power. It's a very powerless organization because all these high-powered attorneys now, the minute anyone gets accused or punishment comes down the road, they get sued, they lose the lawsuit, they get litigated. And so I don't expect a lot from the NCAA. I do believe it's egregious, the crime, if in fact that's all been proven that they were on people's campuses filming video. I think it's a pretty egregious act. However, I don't have much confidence in the NCAA that much will come down. NCAA.
Coach, you guys cover them all the time, and last year was, I think, a circus at times, but also, like, entertaining. I don't know. Colorado is who I'm talking about, by the way, and Coach Prime. I guess I'm curious what your thoughts are on the Buffaloes this season and the job that Deion's done.
Well, I went out there last year. I've known Deion a long time. I've always liked him, had respect for him. We get along great. And I just said, we're going to cover them the first two or three games. I'm going to go watch practice because, my gosh, how do you get 50 new players in your program? You come in and have a team meeting and say, I'm going to bring my own and it's Louie or something like that. I mean, all the stuff that was well documented, I said, I have to see this. This looks like a circus. I was pleasantly surprised when I get out there. It was not a circus. Behind the scenes, they coached their ass off. They practiced. Prime is real unique. He kind of, he dives into those players. He pushes them hard. He makes sure they're hustling on and off the field. And they had more talent than I expected out of a 1-10 team. So when they won those first few games, I wasn't that surprised. I was kind of surprised they faltered at the end as bad as they did. They have another group of players, brand new, 40-plus players, 45-plus players coming in brand new. The quarterback's the real deal. Travis Hunter is a real deal. I don't think they're built to win a championship yet, but I don't think it's a – I think a lot of times the media and even Prime himself make it out to seem like a circus. I think behind the scenes, that's a pretty good program.
Selfishly, I got to ask this. I know Dustin wants me to ask this as well. Everyone wants to know, are you 100% upon 100% done being a head football coach in football or in college football?
No, I'm done. I'm done. I really, really enjoy what I'm doing. I really had no idea there was this life out there. I mean, Shelly and I are traveling. We just celebrated 35 years anniversary. We got 4 grandchildren, 2 on the way. My golf handicap got below a 10. I'm healthy, and no chance. And I think I'm smart enough. No, I don't know how successful I would be in this current climate. You know, I just don't know. Not that it's bad. It's great. College football has never been better. The product on the field, Dustin, has never been better. But no, I'm done.
Well, you talk about family, and it is so important. And obviously, I'm making my family a priority here. As my last show.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. That was good for you. I actually, when the producer called me and asked me, I was like, he said the last 3 shows, and I even texted him, I was like, what is he talking about? You're like a staple, man.
Well,
I've always had great respect for you.
Well, I mean, with that being said, I just wanted to thank you, Coach, for making some time for us and making it a priority, because I know you had to jump on with us a little bit earlier because of me. So always appreciate you. And we love what you're doing at Fox and, one of the best in the business at breaking it down. And yeah, I mean, you coached your ass off for a long time, dude, and you're still killing it.
What are you going to do, Dustin? You're too good. You're going to do ESPN. I know that.
ESPN.
Is this like a hiatus or no? I get to ask you a question. You're not. No way are you done.
No, I'm not done. I'm just stepping away from this time slot to be a dad a little bit more after school and stuff.
Yeah. Did we first meet when I was at Notre Dame?
We did. You're the wide receiver coach.
Yeah, and I recruited you. I remember that. Glen Oak, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, we love you, and as a Buckeye fan as a kid and as a Buckeye fan now, thanks for what you did for Ohio State and the great state of Ohio and Cleveland, Ohio, baby.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we thank you for what you've done for the Buckeyes, too, as well, Coach.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about is Canterbury Country Club.
Oh, that's a nice one.
And the Country Club of Cleveland.
So, like, those clubs, like, can you get me in with you? Like, what?
I played Barrington and some other ones, but this year I got invited to Canterbury, and that's a top tenner, and I played some good ones. That, to me, is one of the nicest, and the Country Club of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Those are two fantastic places, and great people, great course.
All right, well, next time that you're in Cleveland and somebody offers you to come, you say, oh, the only way I'm coming is if Dustin Fox can come with me.
All right, gotcha.
All right, man. You're the best, Coach.
Take care, Dustin.
Thank you so much, Coach.
You bet.
College football coaching legend Urban Meyer there with some very nice words on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Listen, guys, let's be honest about this. As Ohio State and Akron kick off this weekend, you want to have every angle of this game and the season covered. Just check out Sons of the Shoe podcast with myself and Spencer German. Probably going to have to play some of the Urban Meyer interview later this week because it was really good stuff.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can't work a mic, apparently, after 13 years.
At least that hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? If you had just started turning on your microphone all the time at the right time with 3 days to go, it would have been sus, as the kids say. I don't feel that now.
Another jam session.
No, you were jamming like yourself jam. Up. You were jamming yourself up, so I helped you jam yourself up.
It's too much jamming. It hurt.
Subscribe now to the Sons of the Shoe podcast and the free Odyssey app at 92thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season. Continued high praise there. I love the Harbaugh answer, by the way. If you and Harbaugh bumped into each other, would there be a friendly conversation, or maybe is that rivalry not dying? Kind of love it.
Oh, dude, no one gets the rivalry as much as is Urban. And I mean, the coaches that have been there for a long time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I mean, outside of Cooper, but like Tress and Urban, they got the rivalry. I certainly hope that Ryan Day is going to be able to overcome and get it going against the Blue Bellies. But so, we'll see.
I mean, it's just going to be a really interesting season. And here's the thing. I do think it should go right. Like, there's everything. And I think Urban is right on the idea of Will Howard is not a schlub. He has way more experience than Kyle McCord had coming into last year. I think he's more physically talented than Kyle. And I don't want to – I've already said what I have had to say about the kid. I'm not trying to bag on him. But, like, he was who he was. I think Will Howard's more talented. I think Will Howard's going to adapt just fine. And, like, I'm a little concerned about the O-line, but we're probably just nitpicking.
Right.
And so I think it's going to go fine. But what else stood out to you about the about what Urban had to say about this Ohio State team, or really anything he had to say, honestly?
Well, I mean, the number one thing I think that jumps out at you is, you know, what he said in the clip that we played coming back, and that is that this Ohio State team may be the most talented that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with that being said, I think it puts a tremendous onus on Ryan Day to get it done, you know? It's always great to have you know, good players and people say nice things about you. There's a sign, the Billie Jean King sign, when you walk out at the U.S. Open, which we're watching right now, and it mm-hmm. says pressure is a privilege. And yep. so, like, to have good players and to have high expectations, it is a privilege, but you also have to live up to that standard.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think you can point to a couple things, namely the weird Lou Holtz thing last year that maybe Ryan – has not handled pressure the best way. Like, honestly, who gives a crap what Lou Holtz has to say about whether he thinks your program is tough or not? Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, like, you're worried about an 80-year-old man who has an opinion?
By the way, that's an 86-year-old man. He's not like a freshly minted. Lou Holtz is old. And honestly, he's on any given moment, he's half into a bag of Crown Royal. God bless him.
Hey, man.
But, like, if...
Good
if,
for him.
Like, I understood why when Harbaugh said born on third base. I got. Holtz or any of that other criticism, and again, you don't have to like it. I'm not trying to suggest that.
But I think sometimes it's hard for people to accept the criticism when, like, you're so used to people praising you. And for, you know, a while, everyone's talking about how Ryan has this amazing offense. And look, they have had amazing teams. They haven't won a title, and they haven't won, you know, I mean, they haven't been able to beat Michigan. So, yeah, I don't think it's like a crazy hot take to say that there's a lot of pressure on the Bucs.
So you're right, but I just think it's if you like all the nice things being said about you, you have to deal with all the bad things. You know, like we mentioned social media reaction on anything earlier.
Brought to you by?
And social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. That's a good tee up, by the way. That's you've been here 13 years. But it's so funny, dude. Like, if I like on Facebook when somebody says something nice about me, don't I also have to then just, I don't want to say put up with, but can't you process somebody saying something negative about you without taking it personally? Because that means if you take the negative personally, that probably means you take the positive personally. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's what Saban calls rat poison.
God, I used to take the rat poison all the time, and it really would get to me. Like, eat at me. Like, you could have all of these positive things said about you, and then there's that one stinking troll, or it's that one article that's written, if you're Ryan Day, that really irks you. And I just think that, like, you need to avoid that stuff. Stop having rabbit ears. I think Deshaun has rabbit ears. I think that Ryan Day has rabbit ears. I think to some degree we all sort of do, and we battle it, but you got to try to fight through it and just kind of ignore it. You know, easier said than done, clearly.
Yes, it is about vigilance. But I continue to go back to, if you love when people say nice things to you and you hate when they don't.
But that's a human response.
Yeah, but you're probably putting too much stock into when people say nice things to you as well.
Like, okay, that's fair.
Like, that shouldn't, the bad thing shouldn't define you, nor should the nice thing. There should be other things that are more structurally safe to stand on about your opinion of yourself and how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, there
yourself.
Was a, not that it's some profound thing, although it kind of is. Like, we would do read the winner's manual when we had Coach Tress, you know, at Ohio State. And there was like one line in there. It's something about you never get too high when people praise you. You never get too low when people criticize you. You got to find that balance, right? And to do that, it takes discipline.
Yeah. Well, and it also takes living here. We're all so good about living on social media. We're so good about living anywhere other than right here and right now. I think the easiest thing, and dude, I gotta be honest with you, social media yesterday was a cesspool of people tagging me in things just to say mean things to me. And I just was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then I just went and played with my kids. I'm not trying to high road anybody, but what am I going to choose here? The real family in front of me that loves me for just kind of unconditionally, or am I going to choose somebody who's being mean to me on social media and let that get to me? And I just think, like, I'm surprised that people as successful as Ryan or certainly Deshaun, and again, it's a much different level. I'm surprised that hasn't, you know, maybe been something that they can kind of put themselves into. We do have some Browns news here, by the way, as the Browns have officially trimmed their roster to 53. They're going to keep four quarterbacks on the initial roster. That means no quarterbacks moving on here. So We're actually going to come back. We're going to push the pulse to 4 o'clock because this is pretty big news. Browns keeping 4 quarterbacks on the initial roster. The initial 53-man roster cuts are out, and we mentioned the surprising news that the Browns are carrying 4 quarterbacks, at least initially here. It should also be noted that Nick Chubb and Nyheim Hines are on basically the PUP list, coming off knee injuries. Well, the Browns also terminated the contract of Deontay Foreman, which surprises me a little bit. That means the two running backs left are Pierre Strong and, Jerome Ford, the guy who's going to be starting here. I think that could tell you maybe that they might be in the market for another running back, or maybe there's a wink and a nod agreement with Deontay Foreman. Hey, once we get through the next week or so, we'll bring you back. Or maybe they're just, again, maybe they're just looking for another running back. I thought that was the most interesting thing. Two running backs on the roster at the moment for Ohio State, for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, two running backs when you don't have Chubb.
And 4 quarterbacks.
They are dangling some carrots.
Yeah, they're playing hardball. Yeah, they're not. And I think it's smart by Andrew. I do think it's smart to say, because, like, listen, I really like Deontay Foreman. But for some reason, this dude has not caught on consistent with any team. I watch him run, and he's like a freight train. Like, I have no idea how that guy doesn't have an everyday role. But, like, if you espouse this theory that unless your name is Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, you know, Saquon, unless you're one of the 7 to 8 most talented running backs in the NFL, you're all interchangeable. I can understand the risk they're doing, even if they're trying to upgrade on Deontay as we speak. But the 4 quarterbacks thing, you're right. They're waiting to see, because basically they're calling the rest of the NFL's bluff. You know, the Patriots already released Bailey Zappe. There have been other quarterbacks. Malik Willis got dealt to Green Bay from Tennessee. So those quarterback moves are being made. And I think what the Browns are just gauging is, do we have a quarterback better than what is going to be released? Because if so, that then confirms the trade value. When all these quarterbacks get released at once, teams are going to have a free-for-all. And there's a pretty good chance that whether it's Minnesota, I know that's one team. I know there's a couple other teams that are kind of just looking for that better backup, or maybe somebody they can turn to and start if they need to. And I think that's what's going on. Like, do you expect them to have 4 quarterbacks
on the
roster when?
No.
Not even for Dallas. Like, how long? Like, is this a short-term play, long-term play?
I mean, I guess it's certainly possible for the first game because they want to see, like, who gets out of camp, which is now, and who might have an injury as we go through the first week of the season. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to lose a starter week one. I hope not, but it happens. Happened with Aaron Rodgers last year.
I just wonder, of the 3 quarterbacks, who is more likely to get moved? You still have to think Huntley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still expect, if DTR really is safe, and that was one of the first leaks we got of the quarterback spot, at least, because we got DTR is safe, he's made the 53-man roster, and then it became Jameis and Tyler Huntley, the Browns are fielding offers for them and could trade them because of their newfound confidence in DTR. He took a step apparently in the offseason. And now all 4 guys have made the roster. Kind of interesting. I don't think it's a bad thing. And listen, if the Browns did carry 4 quarterbacks, I don't know why teams don't do it more. I know, okay, only one guy plays.
Yeah, because it's not conducive to taking away a roster spot from another position that will be on the field. Like, the 4th quarterback's not getting on the field.
Well, that's true, but okay.
Put him on your practice squad and pay the guy $500,000.
Would you rather have a 3rd or 4th string quarterback or your 4th special teams ace?
Do what I said. You can pay him whatever you want. Put him on the practice squad.
Well, okay, but my point was that subjects that player, if you really value that player to going elsewhere. Versus teams.
That player can choose to do what he wants if you're going to pay him more than he would make on another team's active roster.
I just don't think teams actively invest. Like, we always talk about the quarterback problem. I think a big problem with quarterback development is they cycle through a lot of these guys, and guys don't get time in one situation to develop. Like Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder was there, what, a year or two in Atlanta? You thought highly enough of him to be a top 100 pick. You rushed him out onto the field, I want to say 2 years ago. Last year, you gave him a chance to compete against Taylor Heinicke, and then a year later, he's gone. Like, now, again, I'm not saying that Desmond – I'm not trying to make a civil case about Desmond Ridder, but, like, okay, did you need – and, again, that's also a regime change. But if you're really in the interest – like, if the Browns are really in the interest of we got to protect ourselves against – you know, Deshaun and the downside of Deshaun. Why wouldn't you have drafted a quarterback this year and had and have a veteran backup in Jameis and then carry two young quarterbacks?
Also a fine option.
You're very defensive about this, it seems.
No, dude, I'm kind of tired of talking about it, to be fair,
mm-hmm.
because it's a fourth-string quarterback.
Yeah.
What's that face for?
I mean,
I know it's like sort of important, I guess.
It's like the news with the Cleveland Browns right now. It's a little more than a sort of important.
No, I get it, Nick, but it's
Would you like to talk about peace in the Middle East? Would you like to talk about maybe UFOs?
Well, that I would talk about.
Of course you would talk about that.
You've been talking about this book, man.
You haven't read it. Haven't bought it yet.
Are you reading it?
I already haven't bought it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it came Thursday, and I read it. I was done by Sunday.
Not going to share it with me?
You going to pay me?
No.
I mean, if you want, you got to give the man the money. That's the only thing is it's kind of like a smaller print. So, but yeah, if you want it. But see, now here's the problem.
What's the problem?
You're not going to finish it in 3 days. This is.
Are you worried about getting it back?
This is going to be the.
Yeah, I'm not going to come around.
This is going to be the, was it, somebody with Star Wars. I remember somebody tried with Star Wars, and then they didn't get the VHSs back or something like that. But it's going to be my Lou Elizondo book. I know we live like 10 minutes from each other, 12 minutes from each other now. I'm not getting that book back if I give it to you, right?
Probably not.
I kind of like the book. I kind of might want to read it again.
The horse.
Kind of felt bad for the lady. So I've got the roster in front of me here, some of the names. Contracts terminated, Tony Brown, the second, not the first. Deontay Foreman, Justin Hardy Jr., Jermaine Ifedi, and James Prochet, Paper Prochet as we knew him. On a list, PUP, Nick Chubb, NFI, Nyheim Hines, Michael Dunn, Mike Hall Jr., and who is, of course, on the commissioner's exempt list. And then reserve/injured list is Luke. It's Whipler, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Every time I see him, I want to say Whipler. Did they just draft him because of their partnership with Dude Wipes? And then the wave, Juwan Briggs, who was their seventh-round pick, Amarion Brown, Jalen Darden, Christopher Edmonds, Siaki Ika, Sam Kamara, Zaire Mitchell-Padden, Winston Reed, Lorenzo Thompson, Trayton Welch, and Michael Woods there. So three specialists, 11 defensive backs, six linebackers, nine defensive linemen, 10 offensive linemen, two tight ends, six wide receivers, two running backs, and four quarterbacks. So the two places I think you would expect them to look on the waiver wire or via trade are probably a running back and or a third tight end.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.